Well, I want to continue the series that I, a little series I started last Wednesday night. And if you will recall, if you were here, really these truths that I'm sharing, it's not an exposition of a particular passage, so to speak, but it's really things that across the years that I've gleaned and learned and that I feel like help me on an ongoing basis. A lot of them are rather simple, but sometimes it's overlooking those basic, simple things that we ought to be remembering and doing that can interfere with our walk with the Lord and get us off track. And it's always right to do the right thing. Amen? And so last week we began, and I went through four of these truths. I talked to you about looking for the house of peace. I'm not going to elaborate on these. Then we talked about join God in what He is doing. You can listen to the message if you were not here. Notice what causes your heart to come alive. And then we concluded with Jesus is now who He was then. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's so important for us to not to create a chasm between what the people in the Bible experienced in the New Testament and what we should expect to experience in our daily walk. Because Jesus, He hadn't had a wardrobe change. He hadn't changed His mind about what He told the church to do. And we still have His promise that He's with us. So tonight I want to share a few more of these with you. And Father, I just pray that You would bless this time. I thank You that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher as we learn from Your Word. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would just deposit into our hearts the life and power of Your Word. I pray that, Lord, that You would give me utterance, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to You. In Jesus' name, amen. So you ready for the next one? Here it is, number five. I'll number these for you and make it so we can kind of keep up better. Give away what you need. Say what? Yes. Give away what you need. This is an amazing principle and truth in God's Word. Because when you have a need in your life, now the enemy wants to park on that and create a crisis. Hand-wringing, worrying, anxiety, how can I make this happen? He wants to shut down your generosity. But the truth of Scripture is, learn to give away what you need. Now, Luke 6:36, particularly the first part of this, Jesus said, give, and what will happen? And it will be given to you. Good measure. Press down. This is a picture of farmers in those days gathering the grain and holding their kind of like an apron and filling that up. And you just see it getting full and begin to overflow. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And of course, along with this also, if you're a note taker, it's Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. That's the law of the harvest. You, and the law of the harvest is that you will reap more than you sow, and you will reap later than you sow. And you'll reap the same as you sow. If you sow corn seed, you're going to get corn. And so this give away what you need is in a similar vein of thought, if there's a need in your life, because sometimes if people aren't careful, the first thing that goes is honoring the Lord with what you have. Now, He provides everything. The seed that's in the ground, God created that seed in the days of creation. The plants sprung up from the earth with the ability to reproduce after themselves. Just like He made human beings, we reproduce after our own kind. But God so made the plants of the field, for the most part, you know, particularly those that we eat and that we have livelihood on, that when we get that seed, what happens if you eat all that seed? There goes your future harvest. You keep some of that seed to sow into the future. That's your future crop. And then from the seed of that crop. So it is a perpetual way of sowing, reaping, giving, receiving. Learning to give away what you need because, well, I need all my money. But when you can honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase, honor the Lord through your giving, then He is going to make sure that your needs are met. He promises that. We're told that, you know, that you cast your bread upon the waters and it comes back to you. This is like the waves of the ocean will bring back to you. And so in the spirit realm, the spiritual realm, these truths of God's Word tells us when we by faith give what we need, what we have, when we give away what you need, and I'm going to make this more specific in a moment, then we posture ourselves before the Lord to receive from Him the resources He has as He provides for us. But this giving away what you need, it applies to other areas of our life. That had an edge on it, didn't it? No pun. Oh, well, I better shut up here. All right, reel it in. The Bible says, for instance, if a man would have friends, he should show himself friendly. So if you need friends, give away friendship. Be friendly. If you need acceptance, be accepting of people. Be hospitable. And that it works in our soulish life, our emotional life. It just works this way. It's an axiom. It's a truth. It's a principle that is rooted in the Word of God. Learn to give away what you need. A lot of times, the enemy will try to, for instance, work through rejection. So rather than you by faith sowing friendliness, you are expecting, or if we want to use spiritual terms, you're having faith to be rejected by people. And what happens once you're rejected? Then the seeds of rejection you're carrying, and it's going to produce more. You're going to continue to expect people to reject you. And the truth is, when you expect that rejection, you will begin to project that rejection. I mean, there can be a spiritual dynamic at work that's almost like this to other people. And it's because the enemy has got some control going on. So we have to learn to take a step of faith, put that under our feet, and say, well, okay, I went through a bad relationship. I got deeply rejected, I was abandoned early in life by a parent. There's a long list of things that are very painful when it comes to rejection. But we have to learn to receive healing for that and in faith take these principles. No, I'm not going to be rejected. I'm going to be accepted today. I'm going to be accepting of people. I'm going to be friendly to people. You're going to give away what you need. This works. Try it. It works. Put faith in this truth in God's Word in every area of your life. Okay, now the next one I want to talk about is you are not fit to lead until you are willing to follow. Here's the scripture, Matthew 23:11. Jesus says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. There's other scriptures. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. And the idea is here is we have to have humble, servant-oriented hearts. And the way that leadership, maybe you have leadership gifts, but the way that's honed and polished and comes to a place where you can lead others, the path to that is always with a willingness to follow the people you're supposed to follow. I remember when we went to seminary, I had already pastored 5 years. I was 30 years of age when we left all and went to Memphis for a 3-year program to get my Master's of Divinity. And I, of course, wanted to continue pastoring, but it ended up, the Lord opened the door. We started a Bible study in the apartment where we were, and some of the people that came to our Bible study in our apartment complex attended Bellevue Baptist Church. And when we went to visit, the associate pastor had already heard from them about the Bible study. He wanted to meet with me. It resulted in me being offered a position. They called it being a work shipper. It's kind of like a glorified gopher, an intern, just doing things. And so I worked in the area called Neighborhood Fellowship and Missions under the pastor's office, Dr. Adrian Rogers, and the missions pastor. But it was a precious time because I was able to, and I remember that we had a room for the interns. We work shippers, and we'd be in there at our computers and doing letters, all the kind of different stuff, running copies and all that kind of stuff. And there'd be some days we'd be mumbling and grumbling. Oh, I can't wait till, you know, we get the pastor and all of this. But I remember sitting there one day when I was having one of those days when, Lord, you know, and the Lord, I know the Lord spoke to me, and it's like, son, you know, you follow here. You learn to submit. You learn to serve. And that builds leadership in you. That idea, you're not fit to lead until you are willing to follow. And I believe this is one of these treasured truths that we really need to inculcate, deposit into the life of our children when they're young. Teach them to serve. You know, how to mop a floor, how to take out the garbage, how to clean a toilet, you know, how to take out the trash. Those kind of things are really important. But what can happen is maybe because of when you've gone through a hard upbringing and had it maybe rough in a lot of ways, and our parents' heart is we want to spare our children from the hardship and difficulty that we went up through. And of course, it's a kind of different levels of difficulty today than then, and then versus today. It's just different in some ways. But that principle's still there, that our children need to know how to have a servant's heart. It's a real good thing to teach your children that when they get through eating, for them to take the plate and put it in the sink or rinse it and put it in the dishwasher. You're teaching them how to be an adult. You're teaching them how to do life on their own. And the earlier that we can start that with our children, the stronger they're going to be when that thing coming at them called adulthood arrives. If we are not careful, particularly in our Western culture, and I can't say we've not been guileless in this area. I mean, you know, most parents can make mistakes. But teach your children to serve. Teach them how to make a bed, how to vacuum a floor, you know, and they get older, you know. I know growing up, you get taught how to change the oil, change the spark plugs in your car. Now it's this kind of, you pop the hood and there's no way to get your hand in there, you know. But used to, you could climb down between the motor and the sidewall and work on stuff, you know. It's not that way. Are you getting the drift? You're not fit to lead until you are willing to follow. And you may say, well, I don't know if all those kind of things are important, but what it does is when they get into the workplace, there's going to be an initiative there that's been developed to get things done, to be productive, take care of business, be responsible, and that's really, really important. And this also speaks to the fact that we can't have a wrong kind of ambition. I think ambition in and of itself is not wrong. You know, when the disciples were, they were talking about who's the greatest, Jesus really didn't rebuke them for saying that, or even their mother for saying, can my son sit on your right? He didn't really rebuke them for having like that ambition. He just redefined what that looks like. Okay, you want to be great? Become a servant. But you serve your way into greatness. And that's, I remember back when Mickey and I first married, and after a year we moved up to where she grew up, and I began to work at a construction company out at the Monsanto plant in Decatur. And there was another guy that kind of grew up like I did that arrived the same day. And the second day, our foreman came to us and basically said, guys, you've got to slow down. I don't want you working this hard. Because we had a 30-foot trench we were having to dig with a shovel. And it's like, we need to get this thing dug. But he had to explain to us, this is kind of cost plus, and we factored it's supposed to take so long to get this done. So they trained us to slow down, and it went against the grain with me. You know, enough said here. You are not fit to lead until you are willing to follow. That builds leadership in you when you're a good follower, an industrious worker. The next one tonight, number 7 overall, the more you function in your gift, the more your gift will function. The more you function in your gift, the more your gift will function. Notice this passage out of Matthew 25 that says, for to everyone, this is talking about the talents that were given out, for everyone who has, more will be given. When you use what you've been given, you know, there's increase. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And there's the sense in which if you don't use it, you might lose it. And I know the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, but there are people who once really functioned in their gifts. They flowed in their gifts, and because of maybe things that happened in their life, that's kind of been put on the shelf. They're not flowing in those gifts any longer. It doesn't mean the gifts aren't there. But there is the principle of God has given these gifts, and I'm talking about as the Holy Spirit leads. But what I found when I came into what we call the spirit-filled life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, speaking and praying in tongues, and the gifts, I'd preached on those many times. I'd preached about tongues a number of times, and I'd never, as an adult, knowingly spoke in tongues, and didn't expect to. Didn't even really think I was supposed to. But when I had this experience, then it's like a veil was taken off of my eyes, and I began to step in it, and I found out the more that I expected the gifts to operate, and the more I was open for opportunities to use those gifts, then would by faith step into them, I started seeing more happen. And even those of us who've walked in this a number of years now, if we're not careful, we can become lethargic. Other things can crowd it out and push it out. I see this happen in people's lives when they're just away from churches where the Holy Spirit moves, or maybe where the gifts are allowed. There's a dullness that can come. You go to church, you don't really expect anything to happen. But I just encourage you, and you pray for me that I will be faithful in this way as well, for the gifts to be allowed to function, not just because the pastor says, yes, we're open, we have liberty, but because in your heart, you've made the decision, Lord, I will take the step of faith when my gift's desiring to come forth, or I have an opportunity, I will by faith step into that so that it can function. It's not like the gifts just take you over and pin you down and they're going to use you. No, they're gifts given to you to be used as you walk in faithful obedience to the Lord and you're led by the Holy Spirit. We have a role to play in the gifts functioning in us because the more you function in your gift, the more your gift will function. I remember hearing Heidi Baker that a lot of us here know. Heidi and Roland Baker, who are from Mozambique, they have thousands of orphans. They've started hundreds of churches, and they've seen incredible miracles. And she really became burdened. She wanted to see blind eyes open. And she said, I just really started working on developing my faith to see the blind eyes open. And her testimony is she probably prayed for 1,000 blind people, but she just kept praying, doing what the Scripture said. Here's the need. I'm going to pray. Lord, open this person's eyes. And she said, but one day, boom, God did it. And then after that, he did it again. And he's done it many times since. You know, that's where our faith's being tested. Well, if this is what the Word says, because sometimes, well, this is what the Word says, and we pray, and we don't see it happen. Well, I must have been wrong, or I'm doing something wrong. And we're sometimes, we're being called to be diligent and faithful and just keep praying. You heard me share recently, you know, they say that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And I kind of understand where they're coming from, but biblically, that's not right. In the Bible, we're told the way to live and the things to do, and we do it over and over and over again. We're expecting God's results. You know, you keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep praying, but then one day you pray, and what you're praying for, boom, something different does happen because you've kept doing the same thing. And, of course, we know there's times when there's faith there, and in that moment, you pray and boom, it happens. I love that. There's more of a miraculous element to that as opposed to over time before that breaks through. And sometimes miracles we get like that. Other people have been praying for that person for a long, long time, and we're getting in on the tail end of a whole lot of prayer, and we get to be the one that gets to be the cheerleader, you know? But the more you function in your gift, the more your gift will function. Let me give you scriptures here also in addition. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit will manifest through a person by giving them a word of wisdom. A God-given answer or solution to something that's going on that will release heaven into it. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. This is in a moment, in a situation, because by faith, maybe you've taken a faith and you're ministering to a need. Because you took that step of faith, a word of knowledge comes. That is a knowing about something that you could not know in the natural, that the Lord brings to your mind and you share it, and it becomes a key that elevates a person's faith. And a lot of times the gifts of healing work in tandem with words of knowledge. But this is the Holy Spirit moving. But what if you're not open for the Holy Spirit to manifest through you? What if you're not open or not willing or you're too fearful? So we have to realize that if, you know, well, I really want to see this gift, this happen. Well, start praying. Start stepping by faith into those situations in the workplace, at school, day by day. And then he goes on to say, to another, gifts of healings, that's plural gifts, healings is plural, by the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit can give one person a gift of healing that may relate to like bone pain, or another it may be for deafness, or, you know, sometimes that, yes, you pray by faith. Any believer can pray by faith. Any believer can lay hands on the sick. But as we're doing those things that we're to do just because we're believers, there are times a gift of the Spirit will manifest and bring this other function to bear. And that's when some fireworks start going off, and it's awesome. it says to another, the working of miracles. Notice that working of miracles. Sometimes God has to give us wisdom in a situation about the key, which is a step of faith that we have to do, a way that we approach, a scripture we use, you know, heal with oil, pray the prayer of faith, laying on of hands. Paul even used handkerchiefs that were sent to people who were sick or had needed deliverance. And God honored those different ways. There was a time when Jesus spit on dirt, made spittle, and put it in a person's eyes. You know, but he only did what he saw the Father doing. So I guess in some way, Father said, son, stick your finger in that mud hole and put it in his eye. You know, and his eyes were open. So the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. Notice that, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. Those of you who speak in tongues or pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, most of us have had times when we're praying and we know when we begin, we realize this sounds different than other times when I prayed in the Spirit. And that may happen many, many different times because there's different kinds of tongues. And some there are times when the Lord may... there's many stories of this, particularly like in situations when you're dealing with people that don't speak your language, when God would give the supernatural ability to speak to someone in a language you've never learned that is actually their language. And I've been in a service where that happened. I remember being in Honduras one time for just maybe a small section of time, 20 seconds or so, that the pastor was preaching in Spanish, and I started understanding everything he said, and I knew what he was saying for that space of time, and then it just stopped. I wish the Lord had left the knob on that one, because that was just really cool. I knew I was hearing it right, because it was being translated. But I was getting what the translator would repeat before he got it. And that's an interpretation of a tongue. I didn't have to get up and give the interpretation. It was already being translated. The Lord just allowed me to experience that. It was really neat. And it says, but one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That last part, to each one individually as he wills. In that moment when the Holy Spirit wants to distribute that gift, that's the moment where you're required to receive, step into it, and let it manifest. Now, the Lord's a God of order. That's like in a service, our people are really good. There's times in the service when the music's down, and there may be a word that comes forth. But like during the flow of things, when things are flowing, people are good about coming up and saying, I think I've got a word. Sometimes they'll share it with me. And you know, we'll look for the right time and then let that word be released. You know, sometimes we're in a place where and a lot of times what happens in those situations, reason I think that's important, a lot of times somebody will be getting a word for a little bit and then they're weighing, well, am I supposed to share this? Is this for me or is this something that should be shared with the church? And it may take some time to do that. So just as it takes time to discern, okay, this is the Lord, there's a discernment in when it needs to be released. So, you know, we do the best we can, right? So the more you function in your gift, the more your gift will function. I can quickly do this one. And this is something that I share with people a lot. Notice the scripture first, and then I'll declare this truth. You can go ahead and read it. But Joel 2:25. So I will, what? Restore to you, what? The years that the swarming locust has eaten. Then he goes through the different kind of locusts. He said, my great army, which I sent among you. I won't get into all the theological background in here, but a lot of times it's Israel had gotten into sin, and God's chastening was like locusts coming and eating up their harvest, their crops. But the Lord says here, his heart is to restore what basically has been lost, what's been eaten. Nothing is wasted you place in the hands of God. God is a God of restoration. Sometimes the enemy will make a hammer, a mallet, sometimes a sledgehammer, out of our failures, out of our opportunities we missed. The times we know, well, I should have went for that. That was God and I missed it. He'll take all of that and try to beat you up or beat you down with it. But the principle is, you know, if you've gone through failure or if you missed opportunity or you let something go by like, oh, I know now that was the Lord. Now I just missed it. I wasn't in the right place. You can get on that hamster wheel and just spin your wheels in the regret. Or you can take Joel's passage and say, Father, I thank you that you are a God of restoration. Even though this loss, this situation was caused by my sin, my wrong choice, or my failure to act, I thank you that you're a God of restoration. I'm taking all this rather than it weigh me down and burden me and blind me to what you have for me. I lay it in your hands, Lord. Use it any way in my life you want to. And what happens is God can even use your failure. He can use what the devil's done to you to build into you that which will glorify him. Even a sinful experience will afford lessons to be learned and enable you to gain ground because God is a God of restoration. And I love that. Where would we be if he wasn't? You know, that's his heart, to restore, not to kick you to the curb, slam the door in your face, and red X you and say it's over, but to hear your repentant heart, see that offering of everything you went through and say, Lord, I'm not going to let the devil use this against me anymore. I'm not going to let it weigh me down either. Here, I lay it on you. I see it being laid on Jesus who bore it on the cross. It's yours. Use it for your glory. Nothing is wasted you place in the hands of God. And that includes our children. You put your children in the hands of God. You put things in the hands of God. Amen? These are just some simple truths that I treasure that have been helpful for me. I pray that they are helpful for you. Would you stand? Father, we thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're such an awesome Father and provider that you said that we give, it's given unto us. And Lord, we don't give to get. But we stand on the truth of your word that when we sow what we need, then what we need will be produced and brought back to us. Thank you for that powerful truth. Father, we thank you that you teach us, you groom us, you chisel us and sculpt us and conform us into leadership roles that you've designed for us. Help us to have humble hearts and servant hearts. Lord, thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Help us to have boldness. Help us to have faith. Help us have discernment and wisdom to do all things with excellence. But Lord, to use the gifts you've entrusted us with. And Father, thank you that nothing is wasted when we put it in your hands, that you are a God of restoration. And I declare tonight over your lives, brothers and sisters and friends, that the things that maybe have been wasted or the failures, the loss that you've gone through that's painful and you may be dealing with regret, Father, I thank you. You're a God of restoration. And I pray tonight through the power of your Holy Spirit and the truth of your word that you would energize any who's in that situation, that you would give them faith to believe tonight, Lord, that you're going to restore the years the locusts have eaten, what the enemy sought to do to take you out, beloved. Know that the hand of Father God, when you put it in his hand, he is working in you both to will and do that which pleases him. Thank you, Father, that you can take our mess and you can make a miracle. Lord, that you can do the 180. You can turn things around. Thank you for the turnaround miracle power that you have because you are a God of restoration. I declare restoration tonight. Restoration as we stand, as our altar team comes. Restoration. Have faith for that. What is it in your life that you feel like, well, that's just gone. That was a missed opportunity, or I'm going to suffer the rest of my life because of that. Believe God tonight that He's a God of restoration. A restoration. Put it in His hands tonight. There's an area the Lord spoke to you and you need prayer. I encourage you to come up. Just receive ministry right now in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare, Father, that Your Holy Spirit is so faithful to help us. You said He was our helper, to help us in our time of need. And so I pray tonight, Lord, during this time, that Your Holy Spirit would move across the room, that people would be encouraged, that those heads that hang down would be lifted up, that feeble knees would be made strong and stout. Lord, any of those battling sickness or disease, we decree and declare in Jesus' name and by His stripes, you are healed. To those of you who are struggling with the enemy coming against you, we stand with you tonight and we say, devil, back off. In Jesus' name, Spirit of God, we invite you to move. Do what only you can do. Thank you, Father, you are a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. You are a God who hears and answers prayer. And there's no better time than right now to believe you for that. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Please come forward if you have need of prayer. Let's worship just a moment before you're released.
All I need to do is worship. All I need to do is say His name out loud. All I need to do is lift my head, surrender, and bow.
Father, thank you for tonight. Use us between now and Sunday for your glory. May we open our ears to hear your voice when you speak. May our feet carry us where you ask us to go. May our hands touch those you ask us to touch. And may our lips speak life, speak grace. Speak the promises of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here. This Saturday morning, we have our prayers for healing, our monthly prayers for healing service from 9 to 10 a.m. You can come and go. We'll be some of us here to pray for you in your time of need. Bring your friends if they need it. Hallelujah.